From beautiful snow-covered northern Michigan, this is the Evergreen Bible Baptist Church broadcast. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome once again to the weekly broadcast of the Evergreen Bible Baptist Church. We're on 1972 Saunders Road, just outside the village of Kalkaska, in the Lower Peninsula of Michigan in the U.S. of A. In helping us with our day-to-day struggles, we turn to the authority of God's Word as we grow in grace. The Bible was our rudder and compass for navigating through a difficult world. We pray that today's message from the Word of God might do a work in your heart. Please let us know if you've been blessed by the program. You can contact us by email at william58kuiper@yahoo.com. This weekly broadcast originates from the Sunday morning church services here at Evergreen and features a special musical number along with a sermon from Pastor Bill Kuiper. On occasion, we'd like to include a variety of guest speakers and visiting missionaries to the program. After the special musical number for today, we will hear from Associate Pastor Jim Shaner.
In the little village of Bethlehem, there lay a child one day, and the sky was bright with a holy light o'er the place where Jesus lay. Alleluia, oh, how the angels sing. Alleluia, how it rang. And the sky was bright with a holy light. 'Twas the birthday of a king. Humble birthplace, but oh, how much God gave to us that day. From the manger bed, what a path has led, what a perfect holy way. Alleluia.
It's difficult to turn on the television without seeing Christmas commercials that want to tell you that what they're selling is the perfect gift for Christmas. We were watching a ball game and then came on one of the advertisements about a car and said, "This is the perfect gift for Christmas. You cannot live without it." I'm saying to myself, perfect gift? I know a better gift than that. I can live without this thing, the payments I can live without. But they purport on the television and around at this time of year that you just got to go out and buy or find or be given the perfect gift. Well, the prophet of old says something this morning about the perfect gift for Christmas, and I want to take a look at that in the first seven verses of Isaiah chapter 9. But notice it says, "Nevertheless, in that darkness," and it was a period of war for them, also a period of God's judgment upon them, and yet they were coming through some dark days in their life, but the writer of Isaiah now gives a little light here. He gives a little bit of enthusiasm, we will, or a little bit of telling the people, even though the darkness is there, it's not all that bad. Now notice here, it says, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as in her vexation." That's her, the Israelites, okay? A lot of times we use the word her in Scripture here, when Isaiah used it, it's in reference to Israel. And so talking about the time when Israel was in vexation, but the dimness, although it was dark, it's really not that dark for you and I who are the people of God. And he says this, "Not as such as was in the vexation, when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, And after did more grievously affected her by the ways of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the nations. And so God was telling them and rehearsing what they already knew, that they were coming through a difficult moment in their life, in a difficult moment in the life of Israel. But notice what it says in verse 2 here. The darkness does not have to prevail. Thank God for that. And I want to tell you this morning, although dark as this world is, and as dark as this world system is, it is not going to prevail. God is going to prevail. And you and I are going to prevail through that because we are God's people. And God has so placed His Holy Spirit within us. God has so happily desired to come and to commune with us and to come in to be our Lord and our Savior, to be our guide and our counselor, so that in this dark world, we as lights do shine. Amen. Now, he says here in verse 2, the people that walk in darkness. May I say something about this a moment? Because before August of 1972, I walked in darkness. Before I came to the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I walked in darkness, although I wouldn't know what it meant. And yet I walked in darkness because I did not walk in the light of Jesus Christ. And there are people in this world, maybe somebody in this auditorium this morning, that you're still walking in darkness because you have not come to the light. He's talking about for Israel here, that even in the dark days, they could come to the light, and that light was the Lord. That light was their Messiah. Okay, that light was God. And although we live in a darkened world, Satan will not, cannot, will never prevail. That excites me. Because although the Bible says that Satan, 1 Peter 5:8, is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and that's us, and although his desire is to ruin us and to ruin our lives and to ruin our testimonies, and really if he could, to kill us, because that's a strong enemy that we're facing, yeah, our enemy is not us. Our enemy is not individuals. For we wrestle not with... with flesh and blood, with principalities and powers and wickedness in high places, the Bible tells us. And so although we have all that going on, if you let it get to you, and if you just always just see the darkness, it's a difficult day. But I want to remind you that through the darkness, the light does come. And if you're here this morning in darkness outside of Jesus Christ, I want to tell you something. He can bring the light into your darkness. Matter of fact, He can take the darkness away. Not only does He come in and forgive you of your sins and everything, He cleanses you. He heals you. I walked 23 years of my life without Jesus Christ. I didn't get saved at 5 years of age. I wish I would have. I didn't get saved at 8. I wish I would have. Things could have been a lot different in my life. I walked 23 years in darkness. And God saw fit on August of 1972 to bring the light through His Word into me. And if you're here this morning and you walk in darkness this morning, and you may not even understand that, what I'm saying, but if you're outside of Jesus Christ, if you have never placed your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are truly walking in darkness. And I want to tell you something, when you're walking in darkness, you're going to stumble. When you're walking in darkness, you're going to run into things that is going to seek to ruin you. When you walk in darkness, you cannot see where you're going. But when Jesus Christ, the light, comes into your life, He opens those eyes of understanding. And He opens the view. And He makes the view a lot better than the darkness we've been walking through. Amen? So if you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, and He's the only way. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father, what? But by who? Me, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can come to church all your life and not go to heaven. You can sit in that pew all your life. You may be baptized. I was baptized as an infant. Didn't help me. I got wet. That's about it. I know a lot of good people in this world. But being good doesn't save you either. You're still in darkness. You know what? You can be a good person and walk in darkness. You can be a moral person and walk in darkness. You can be a kind person and walk in darkness. You can be a smart person and walk in darkness until the day Jesus Christ knocks on the door of your heart. And if you're here this morning without Christ, I'm going to tell you something. He's knocking. He's knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will come unto him and sup with him and he with me. I'm glad it said any. Because that doesn't exclude any. Right? And that means all of us. So he says here, the darkness does not have to prevail. Now I want to say another thing for you and I are Christians. Now Jesus has come in and brought the light. But sometimes by our sin we dim the light. We don't walk in total darkness. But sometimes the day gets foggy. Am I right? Sometimes we allow ourselves to get in a position, and David said, it's sin that does that. That separates my fellowship with God. It doesn't separate me from God, but it separates my fellowship with God. And God desires to have a close fellowship. The darkness of sin doesn't have to come into the Christian life. And we need to fight that every day of our life, every moment of our life. Because Satan's trick is to bring us back to the darkness so we stumble. As Christians, bring us back to the point to where we start looking inward and not upward. We start looking to what we want rather than what He wants. So He not only talks here about those who walk totally in darkness without Jesus Christ, but those who Satan wants to get us back into that darkness so that we don't serve the light. So we don't walk in the light. And if you're walking in the light, you're walking with Jesus Christ. You know, Adam and Eve have a perfect example of that. The Bible says that God walked with them in the cool of the day, and He talked with them in the cool of the day. You know why? God talks to us right here. And if we spend time right here, we'll spend time away from the darkness. Because you know the truth, and truth shall what? Set you free of that darkness. And so, the first thing that we see here about the perfect gift is the fact is that the gift that God gives, the gift of light that God gives, dispels all that darkness. Now, another thing is true different between those who are saved and those who are not saved walking in darkness. Those who are walking in darkness just keep seeking darkness. But those who are of the light keep seeking light. And as we keep seeking light, we become lighter. You ever see these little things, little dot things that are on different things that have fluorescent? If you shine a flashlight on them during the day, right? And then you put them at night in your bedroom and have total darkness in your bedroom, and you have it in the bedroom, what happens? They glow, don't they? And why did they glow? Because they came close to the light. Amen. And folks, you and I glow as we come close to the light. Right. We dispel that darkness. You and I are the dots. That's right. And the light that we shed is needed in this dark world. It says here in this, the people that walked in darkness have seen a what? Yeah, it's not just a little light of three dots. The word great is magnanimous here in the Hebrew. And it gives us an account of something that's so large that it encompasses your whole view. Doesn't He want to have us to have our whole view on Him? And we've come out of the darkness into the great light. Let's don't try to go back. You know, the road back is paved with slippery slime. The way back is easier than the way forward. I want to tell you something, isn't it? The way forward sometimes is a struggle. But the great light will shine greater. You know, we're not suns. We're moons. What does the moon do? It reflects the sun. Not only as the great light inside that illuminates us, but the light that comes out of us through Jesus Christ that this world cannot resist. They have seen a great light, and they shall dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Upon them hath the light shine. Thou hast multiplied the nations. This is the greatness of God, the great light. And not increased their joy before according to the joy in the harvest, as the men rejoice when they divide the spoil. As thou hast broken the yoke of his burden. Aren't you thankful for that? Not only did he take it off, he broke it off. That means it's destroyed and not to be used again. And he took it away. And he gave us a new life. His broken yoke, his burden. But I want you to look at verse 5. For every battle of the war is with confused noise. If you've ever been in that, you understand. And garments rolled in blood. But this will be burning fuel of fire. This is bringing us to verse 6 is all this is doing. But I want to tell you something. Now, we're going to look at the perfect gift that is wrapped in four different layers of Christmas paper, pardon me. But we see this perfect gift for Christmas wrapped in something that's very precious for you and I. And what we're going to do is we're going to take off the layers of the wrapping. Let's imagine that we have our Christmas trees in our house, and under the Christmas tree is one package. On that package is your name. So mentally just put your name on there. Now, that package, though, has been wrapped with four layers. For unto us a child, that's the word technon, that's the word little child, takes us back to the incarnation, takes us back to Jesus Christ in baby in the manger. Jesus Christ is eternal, is what it's telling us here. For unto us, all of us here this morning, remember your package is under there, your name's on it. For unto us a child is born, unto us now not only a child, a son is given. That connects us to the cross. Because the child that was born in the manger is the man who went to the cross at some 33 to 33 and a half years old. Do you realize, normally he started his ministry at 30, but then they stayed in their homes until 30. So if you have children who are not quite 30, hang around, they'll stay around a while. Normally, in their culture, they stayed until about 30, and then they went on. And what was normal for Jesus would have been to take up his dad's carpentry, his earthly father's carpentry, and go on. But he only had then three to three and a half years of ministry before he died. But it was the babe who was born, and that confused everybody. They were looking for a man, but it was a baby. But it was God. And that God grew. And that God was out without sin, who knew no sin, became sin offering for us, and he hung on the cross of Calvary. Folks, your name's on the package. And he hung on the cross of Calvary. But thank God, he didn't hang there long. He rose from the dead. Because if he didn't raise, we can't have eternal life. If he didn't raise, we can't be raised eternal. We have no hope of heaven if he doesn't raise from the grave. If the baby hadn't come, if the Son hadn't hung on the cross, if the Son hadn't risen, we have no heaven. We have no message. But God took care of all that, didn't he? And we have all those things today. Names on the package. For unto us a child is born, a son is given by God the Father, gave his Son for you and I. And he gave us a physical illustration of this in Abraham. Remember Abraham trekked his son all the way up to that mountain? Can you understand too that his son had the wood on his back? That would be, he would be the sacrifice? And yet he was obedient all the way through. And he placed him on there. And Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. And God stopped it. Because the fact is God was going to sacrifice his son. Abraham did not have to sacrifice his son. And we don't have to sacrifice our bodies. We don't have to sacrifice things. We don't have to sacrifice other situations. Jesus Christ did it all. Amen. On the cross of Calvary and out of the grave and out of the tomb. Now notice, if you will, names on the package. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called. Now here's the first layer. I'm going to take the first layer off your package. Now notice what it says here. What's a wonderful counselor? Here's your present. The first layer of that paper, beautiful, wonderful counselor. Well, I need counsel. God has provided that gift of wonderful counselor. Folks, we can go to him. He already knows why I need to go to him. Because he desires for us to ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And therefore, when it comes to those times when we can't talk to somebody else, for a lot of different reasons, right? We have a wonderful counselor. We peel back the first layer of a wonderful counselor. I love that gift. Amen? See, God has given you a perfect gift. The first layer comes off. and it says, Wonderful Counselor. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, you got it all. Mighty God, you got it all. The second layer comes off. Not only the Wonderful Counselor, I need that, and a Mighty God, because my God can do anything. You know what? I get excited. What is the next one's going to be?
Amen.
The gift is still there. We've only taken two off. And I haven't seen what's inside yet. Notice this. The Mighty God, I can claim His power in my life. I can claim His power in others. In my prayer to Him and say, God, they need Your help. The power of prayer comes by the Mighty God. Now here, let's peel another layer off. It says, here's your third layer. Everlasting Father, I will never leave Thee, what? Nor forsake Thee. Everlasting. Because He's everlasting, we're everlasting. Everybody's going to be raised. Everybody's going to stand before Christ. Either we stand before Christ, the Son on the cross who rose from the grave, and stand in the light and not walk in the darkness, stand in the light and be saved by that light, the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to stand before the award seat of Christ, the Bema seat. But those who know not Christ will stand before Christ, body, soul, and spirit, in the judgment. I hope, I pray, none of you are at that. Let's take the last layer off. I don't know what this other gift is, but I've already been excited. Right? Three of them. This is the fourth one. The Prince of Peace. Now, why would God put this last? Why would He say Prince of Peace? Wouldn't He say King? Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We only have peace with God when we come to Jesus Christ, His way, with no works at all, but come by faith. Then we have the peace with God. Before then, we're at enmity, the Bible says, with God. Before then, we're enemies of God. Before then, we're going someplace else, not with God. But praise God, when we come to Him, we're going a different direction. Amen? Now notice, but we have the peace of God. All right, we've turned the layers. But see, we have to open it now. Let's open it. But when we open it, we can't stand to look upon it. The light is so bright. Now, there's a man in the New Testament that was exactly about this. The Apostle Paul walked down the road to Damascus on his way to Damascus, an unsaved man. And the Bible says, a great light. That's what our Scripture says. A great light. That'll light up your day. We walk in darkness, folks, but with this ultimate gift that's there, it's a gift of Jesus Christ. It's the gift of the light that lights up my soul, that lights up my heart, that lights up my ever being to go on. Man, I've got a lot under that tree. It looked like one thing. But see, when I peeled the layers off, it just told me what this was. What the ultimate gift was. And folks, all of these are ours. And it's a perfect Christmas gift for you and I. If you're here without Jesus Christ, will you please consider my Lord, the Lord Jesus. Come out of the darkness and into the light. And folks, if you're saved, I hope we understand this. Because this is what makes life worth it.
Yes.
Amen? Makes life worth it. Because without it, we're doomed. Without it, the torments and the trials of life will be too much. But with it, we are more than conquerors through Him. Amen? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for the moments together. And I just thank You for the perfect gift, Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I just ask You, work in our lives. Help us to understand what we have if we're saved.
Help us not to walk away from that light. Because the darkness has nothing to offer us. For those here this morning that may not be saved, Lord Jesus, help them. Help them to know. Help them to come to you before it's eternally too late. Father, thank you for the gift of your Son. But thank you for the other gifts that we've looked at this morning. You'd be here with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. You'd say, Brother Jim, I'm in darkness. I'm not saved. But I want to be. Nobody looking around, please. But I want to be. Maybe you'd have the courage just to lift your hand. I won't call you out. I will not do that to you. But I would like to pray for you. And the greatest thing is for you recognizing your need. You might say with your uplifted hand, Brother Jim, I need to be saved. Anybody this morning? I'm not going to.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that brought my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Though many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come, this grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining is the sun. We've no less days to sing God's grace than when we first begun.
We hope you were encouraged from today's message from Associate Pastor Jim Shaner. Our prayers are that through the preaching today, you might grow closer in your walk with Jesus. Remember to contact us. We value your feedback. The email address again is william58kiper@yahoo.com. That's William Kiper, KUIPER@yahoo.com. Or you can write us at Evergreen Bible Baptist Church, 1972 Saunders Road. That's Saunders, SAUNDERS. Saunders Road, Kalkaska, Michigan, 49646. Kalkaska is spelled KALKASKA. We invite you to join us next week at the same time. This is the Evergreen Bible Baptist Church broadcast, and may you grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.